Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. On this podcast, you'll hear stories to encourage, inspire, and empower you to be the best healthcare advocate that you can be for yourself or for a loved one. The information provided in this podcast is not to be used for any medical advice. This is for information only and to support you in your journey. Please consult with your physician and medical team. In fact, share your favorite episode with your team and ask questions from that.
Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. Today we're going to be speaking with Katie. She is a mom and a teacher and so many other things. And so I'd just like to introduce you to Katie. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk with you today and to learn about your story. And so just start off by telling me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I have an undergrad in elementary education. I have a master's in ESL. And I taught in the public school setting for about 11 and a half years. And then I stayed home with my third. And about that time, I noticed that our middle child was learning way differently than his typical peers and others. I knew enough to know there was something off, but nothing that I could pin it to, because I kept thinking, gosh, he's so low, but he's not. He's really smart in the same sentence. Like, he can do so many things. So fast forward I send him to kindergarten, and I get an immediate phone call. I would like to see you, from his kindergarten teacher, about 2.5 weeks into school. And I thought, oh God, it's that bad. She knows, because he had a great kindergarten teacher. So that led us to down the hill path of finding out that we have a dyslexic in our family. And as an educator, you know, I thought that I had all this information. But honestly, the truth is, most educators have about 2 paragraphs of information on dyslexia, and we're told, it's just flipping your letters backwards. It's not a big deal. And so I have found out more than I've ever thought would come out from that conference, and has led us in a 9-month system of lots of learning and lots of new things we've acquired.
So all of this just kind of came about in the past 9 months of discovery.
Correct.
Great. So what has your experience been like in the school system or with the doctors just on this journey?
So even as an educator, the school system I've already found was to be a pain in the butt. I've already known that as myself. You know, as a teacher, if I go back just a second, as a teacher, I would have these rare cases of students where it's like, gosh, you're so bright, but my God, you're almost lazy in your mind. You're not saying that to them, but you're kind of in your mind what is with this kid? If he just apply himself, he could just make progress. And so you fast forward, and that's kind of the train of thought, and you're thinking, you go to a sped teacher and you say, you know, he really is good at X, Y, Z, but my gosh, he can't read. You think there's something else going on? And they're like, no, we can assess them. And then they give them an assessment, and usually they come up typically low, in the 20th percentile. So that means they don't qualify. So fast forward to, as a parent now, you know, this is the same stuff I ran into in the school. Hey, I want him tested. Well, you know, it's pretty early in the year. He needs to have time to catch up to his peers. And as a parent with education knowledge, I'm thinking, dear heavens, I've been working at home for months with this child, almost a year straight, just on specifics like his name, getting his name directionality correct. And that has been torture on me, him. You know, we've ended up in tears. And so it's okay, but at this point, I don't have a name and I don't have an answer. So I'm thinking with them, listen, he's so vocabulary orally high and proficient. He's can explain himself so well, but you know, we don't see that there's really any need. We just think he just needs a little bit more practice. So, you know, I let it go, because part of me is thinking I might be a little crazy. I don't have any reason to support this. But the teacher's agreeing, something's wrong. So I do a little bit more research. I reach out to a friend who had been pinging me all these years, the last 2 years, what did you learn about this? What do you know about this? And you're thinking, I would tell my friend, listen, I don't know much. I think you're barking up the wrong tree, and I think this is kind of made up. I mean, is she literally flipping her letters backwards? And that's about when the conversation stopped about her daughter, because it was Kate, you don't understand either. And I realize this now, that I wasn't very helpful, because we didn't have the information. So in the late fall, he wasn't making any progress. His peers were growing, and he was one of the lowest for handwriting and, you know, but for in the certain areas, handwriting and his reading ability. But he could tell the best oral story in the classroom, had the biggest vocabulary. So fast forward, and I did force them to test him. And of course, I think deep down, they were like, oh my gosh, just shut her up and, you know, see what he can qualify. Well, he was already watched on watch for speech. So they qualified him barely for speech issue. That kind of appeased the teacher and I think. But at this point, I didn't know. This is in December. I just was learning about this and I felt in a big ocean of sea. I didn't even know how to nitpick it apart. Like, and the second part was I didn't have the money to go and formally test him. They said they gave him the screener, the dyslexia screener. He passed it by 2 points. Fast rewind a little bit to that is all summer long, I had been practicing rhyming skills, like daily, an incessant amount of rhyming skills. Because as an educator, kindergartners, I knew if kids can't rhyme, they can't read. No one ever told us why. No one ever expanded that conversation. I just knew like, oh, rhyming is a precursor to reading. So I drilled that kid, can you read, rhyme, cat, hat, mat, bat, you know, all these things. And so I said, what did he pass? And she said, well, the section that he passed by 2 extra points was the rhyming. And I thought, well, no kidding, because I have given him every rhyme under the sun as an educator. So, you know, like we're talking about he passed by barely.
Yeah, so that's, your story sounds a lot like my story with Ryan, just a few years later. You had mentioned that you reached out to a friend. Was this a friend that you had known from school or just acquaintance or?
We had both our older children in a bilingual school. So we had known each other for about 5 years at this point, 4.5 years. About 4 years when she started coming to me, and I guess about 6 years now that we've been friends. So yes.
Okay, so you recognized that she had a child who had some learning issues, and then she was looking for help from you initially, which you could only help for a limited amount.
Yes.
But now here you're turning back to her because she's been through this.
Right, like, okay. Where did you get this testing done, and who helped, you know, and, mm-hmm. and the difference was she could afford to do a lot of the testing, mm-hmm. so she had the means to do some of it, so it was like, oh my gosh, she could do some of that, so I kind of really pegged off of her, and she added me to all these dyslexia groups and would send me articles. And I do know one thing. We have a good working relationship that she's like, before I really knew what my son had, she said, will you come down and speak at the Senate and fight for this bill for the to get every child tested in Colorado, the dyslexia bill? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd do that for you in a heartbeat because I feel like if there's an assessment out there, a pre-assessment, like every kid should be given it, mm-hmm. hands down. So I went to that before. Again, I'm sitting in there in September going, what are the odds? And that's about when I went to lunch with her and picked her brain and started checking things off and went back into my more detailed research and checking things off. And dots were starting to align. Took a while because it felt really muddy and mucky in the middle, in the beginning.
It sounds like you had to do a lot of it on your own and there wasn't a lot of support initially other than this one friend, mm-hmm. that the school really wasn't offering any sort of support.
Nope. No. Nowhere to question, nowhere to, you know, they just, because it looked great on paper. I mean, what is your problem? He passed by 2 points. Mm-hmm. But what do we all know? As an educator, 2 points is not going to fly you to the top of the class. 2 points means you're barely hanging onto the monkey bar at the beginning of the stand, holding onto the step.
Absolutely.
He's screwed.
And it's more than just developmentally, especially because his verbal skills were so high.
Right.
This didn't all add up. So you forced the school to test him. What did that look like? What was your path for that?
A lot of whining. It was a lot of like, just do it and shut her up. Mm-hmm. That was where we were. And as we're going into this coming fall, I have already pre-planned my whining battle. Because I've learned a lot, and I've learned that I'm not going to take no for an answer. And our school that we've picked, that he's been choiced into, is a school that in the district that got to opt out of the Orton-Gillingham options. So that's a program for dyslexics. And so I will make sure that by the end of December, that program is in our school. I am not going out quietly. I am not going to let all these other kids flounder, and my kid's not paying the price because they don't have their stuff together because nobody's researched it. And in that breath, I've also taken a couple courses, and I learned that how to educate myself to educate others. I feel like if you're empowered and you are willing to learn the knowledge and you're willing to share with others, others will listen.
That's great. That's great that you took upon yourself to identify where you can learn that stuff. And I'm assuming that a lot of that came out of the Facebook groups that you've joined or
yes.
starting to. Now, I know that you also are work with a Refuge Reads mm-hmm. program. And how did you find out about that tutoring program?
The friend who I've been talking about, whose daughter was diagnosed, actually tagged me in one of these. Come meet us. Do you want to tutor? Do you want to learn, train? Do you want to be trained to be tutored in November? And I thought, this sounds a little good, too good to be true. And the lady who actually runs it, I blew up her Facebook messages, you know, really trying to get every detail from her. And I realized I better just go to this meeting. And I did. And so that's where we have. So it's all come from this Facebook. And because of her, because of this Refuge Read program, I have then been able to tap into another training, like some other people in the district. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great. The more you kind of reach out and connect with the community, the more resources you can find. And it all started with that one friend. So as if you had to give advice to another parent kind of going through the same journey, what advice would you give?
I feel like the number one is to find somebody who has been through it and that you can trust. And then ask them, what were your steps? And then go through each step. And then your next best step would be go to your school and say, do you know of anybody in here that has a dyslexic student or any teacher, any educator that has a dyslexic student at their house? Because I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to be your best advocate. And they're going to know the language to use, who to talk to first, and the roll calls. And you're probably going to have to talk to them outside of school to get some advice. But that's going to be your best bet because each school is a little different and yet each school is the same, that they all have the same headaches and the same stopping points. But I feel like now when I go back into the classroom, I will be the advocate person for any of those parents come to the into and tell them, these are what you need to do. These are the steps. I reached out to somebody on Facebook in like a local community and they said, you know, listen, I think my son's dyslexic. And I went back to them and I said, first off, did you have any pre-test for dyslexia? And she said, what? I said, oh yes, every school and district has this. They can't diagnose it, but they have a pre-assessment that kind of gives you it's a screener that I was talking about earlier. And she came back a few weeks later and she said, well, he failed the screener. So yeah, like now what? And it's like, well, now you're going to either get testing or you're going to, and so we were able to work through that where she's on Facebook, you know, nobody's helping her. Her son's at the end of first grade, can't read, all these things. And so it's just finding your person to match you up, the person with some power and knowledge.
I think that's great. That's some very good advice. So overall, what do you think is wrong with our healthcare or school system right now and as far as being able to identify these kids and get them the help they need?
So I definitely see holes all over the place. You know, we wonder how these kids fall through the cracks because they're not cracks. They're like potholes that these kids are stuck in and they can't get out. And it's the same with the medical. You know, I have a son who got diagnosed with something else. It was a little bit more in our face. And, you know, I respect this doctor. So but I also know that he's a doctor and that I can't believe everything that he doesn't know. He doesn't have all the information. But I do respect what he says and does. And so I went to him and I said, well, you know, about this child, how long? And he said, well, let's wait and see what happens when he's two. Well, then I reached out to another friend, you, and said, so how many words should they have by the age of two? And you told me, oh, at a minimum, 25, 50. You said 50. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. So I went around and just thought, nope, we're not messing with this. I found a way to get him tested. He now has a diagnosis. And what that situation came from is if I waited, we would have missed 6 months of early intervention. I again knew enough to know to start asking the right people, to ask the people in the field. The pediatrician isn't a speech pathologist. The pediatrician doesn't have any of this type of background dealing with kids like this. So who is it? It's people like you who have that background. So that's where the medical system, the medical field definitely, you know, has holes and that the kids can fall through them. And same with the public school. You can come to me as your classroom teacher and say, I think there's a problem. But until 9 months ago, I'd have been like, well, okay, we can have him tested. Mm-hmm. And he would probably come up in the 20 percentile and he wouldn't get an IEP because he's able to continue. But as a parent, that doesn't also mean much to you. And so now as a teacher, I would probably with the knowledge that I have gained now, pull you aside and say, we need to go further and require extra, ask for these extra assessments because your child shouldn't be this low and struggling in these areas.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, especially this, like testing with the right tests.
Correct.
If you use the right screener or test, you're not going to find what you're looking for.
Right. Or, yeah. You're not going to get any, you're not looking for the right, are you even looking in the right area,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
We can test him in math, but we already knew he was gifted in math, mm-hmm. You know, like, or he was average in math, mm-hmm. But.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we need those specific dyslexia screeners. So that is unfortunate that we have so much information and can help so many people on so many levels, but something so basic as learning to read, they just, like, nope. Just keep passing you through the levels.
And as an educator, I just want to say that, like, you know, deep down, we just kind of pass kids through. We don't have answers. The schools are still not having answers to how to help them. So it's like, you know, the state can mandate that they need to be on a read plan and that we can do all these things, but 6 weeks of intervention isn't even enough from what I'm learning. That's not enough to retrain your brain on how to learn how to read.
Especially in a group setting.
Right. In a large group setting. Mm-hmm. I mean, 1 to 20 plus, you know, think about your big classes in high school or college. How much information did you get when you're sitting in the back? You're paying attention to all the other things. Lots of information gets lost. So it's the same with our kids.
Absolutely. So during this whole time that you're concerned about how your kids are doing, what type of self-care do you do for yourself? How do you help kind of manage taking care of yourself too?
So far, there's been none. very little. It's been...
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think this is a part that I really want to speak to because it is... We can only be our best selves for our kids if we're taking care of our own selves. And it's not, there's only so many hours in the day.
Right.
I guess, you know, thinking about that question, it's a lot to think about. But
it's important because, I mean, I was working so hard on myself. And then come the fall, it just was like,
And, you know, we can't do everything at once.
Right. But I feel like, you know, and even just the last few months, trying to get back onto a routine mm-hmm. has been so hard. Because there's so many things, right? Like, and to have two has just been like a whirlwind. But the only thing that I can just say is that, like, there's so many people who have it worse because... They're going for treatments. Their kids might not live. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their story to tell, which is what I hope that this podcast can do for people is to share one person's story to positively impact somebody else. So your struggle of acknowledging how badly you want to do something for yourself and not feeling like you can, I know resonates with other people.
Yeah.
And I guess we can't change everything at once, and we have to also acknowledge how hard you're working for your kids, and know that it is enough for right now. That maybe right now, everything that you're doing is all that you can be doing right now.
Right,
and that is okay. You right now in the present moment are doing the best you can.
Yeah.
And even, I don't know, that we have to just be able to be okay in the moment and acknowledge that effort just in itself.
So.
So I guess we can talk another time, Katie, at when you feel like you're in a place to take that first step for yourself. I say talking to me is that first step, and you should have brought you some tea or coffee. That would have been nice.
Don't worry, I already loaded. I will say, you know, like, that is one thing that it's not a lot, but I do try to carve out, you know, like getting my pedicure done every 2 weeks. Like, it's just like I just have to go get a magazine and just do something for myself. It's not a lot, but of course it's been reading about texts about my children, but I can at least get through 3 chapters quietly without it being interrupted, so I can put things in place. So
well,
yes.
But you know what? I think that's a positive thing to recognize that that is what you're doing for yourself right now, and maybe in the future that will be different.
Right.
But for now, great, we'll, that is okay. Is there anything else you wanted to share with me today, Katie?
No, I think that's everything.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yes. And I am in this journey with you, as well as a dyslexic learner myself and with 2 dyslexic children. And I know that they're going to be much better for all of our intervention support that we've given them. So you have a great day and we'll talk soon.
Thanks.